Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. This is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat. And as you noticed, maybe you didn't notice, we used to do this show. It's been a year and a half since I have done any recordings or any broadcast, and we used to have a musical opening, and we will have one again. Been a little bit challenged to put it together. I thought we were going to have it a couple of days ago, but it's not absolutely vital and critical that we do. But I promise in the shows and the weeks to come, we will have that back. And as we come to you, back to you on Ministry Beat, as it pertains to Allegheny Center Alliance Church and our newest initiative, which is called Expanded Influence. Now, if you've been paying attention at ACAC for the last couple of years, this is not a new term. Expanded Influence has been with us in the past, and so this year we are taking some pretty serious steps forward to make sure that it's not just talk, and there are going to be some very concrete steps that we are taking as a congregation to see that our expanded influence becomes a reality. So on Ministry Beat, we're cranking it back up to talk to people in the congregation, people of leadership, people who are very close to the decision-making, policy-making, or just the philosophy of expanded influence as we go forward. And so my job will be to build a body of material and information that you, the casual listener or the committed member, can access to understand what are we doing at ACAC, why are we doing it, and how are we doing it. And so these first couple of months of the year, we're going to be focusing on the why expanded influence. Now, again, this is not the first time we've talked about that, but this is going to be a concerted effort to make sure you understand why. Last week I did some video recordings with Pastor Rock. We'll be making those available to you. We will be doing a 10-minute interview on Saturday nights. We will be recording that. We will be making that available to you. And then on these podcasts, these blog radio shows, I'll be bringing people on, or I may be talking myself to you about what it is that we're doing. Now, today we have a really exciting development I didn't learn about till last week. Our newest member of the staff and the team is a brother who has been very involved at ACAC, whose fingerprints are on many things that we have done, and they're going to be on what it is that we're going to do. And his name is David Lee, and I see he's on the air, so let me bring David on. Hi, David. Welcome to Ministry Beat.
Hello, Dr. Stanko. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you for taking the time. Now, did I understand or misunderstand? Did you just get back in the country?
You understood correctly. I had a very short trip, a great flight home and life-changing one in Southeast Asia.
And the trips went well? Were the missions accomplished?
Yeah, absolutely. My wife and I had the opportunity to visit four countries out there, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. And probably the very significant highlight is when we were in Thailand, we had a chance to spend a couple of days with some longtime missionary friends out in the countryside. And it was very profound as he took us out to visit the villagers and share the good news of Christ, and just reminded us of how simple and how uncomplex or not so very complex the gospel is, and its power to change people's lives.
Mm. And did you see your son?
Did I see my...
Is John, isn't your son overseas, or is he back in the States?
No. My son is in the States. So this was not a family visit. It was more a little bit of pleasure and a little bit of ministry mixed in. And so it was just a good opportunity to be away for about a month.
Great, great. Tell our listeners a little bit about your involvement at ACAC. How long have you been there and some of the roles that you've held, and we'll get to know you a little bit.
Well, I've been at ACAC for quite some time, and I think it almost goes back to the mid to a little bit late 80s, almost when the congregation was only about 250 or 280 in that range, and Rock had just come on board. So my wife and I had been looking for another church after serving in a Asian church there in Pittsburgh, and feeling called to leave and look for another home church. We came upon the Allegheny Center, and we visited and on a Sunday worship and met Rock, and he was fairly new at the time, I think, having just launched his ministry there at Allegheny Center. But all that said, we did end up joining, and it's been a very long relationship with ACAC. Both my wife and I have been working and serving as bivocational lay people. We have had a great privilege and opportunity to touch a lot of different areas of ministry for ACAC, anywhere from, at least on my part, from Christian ed and teaching and leading small groups and growth groups, and being involved as a head elder and elder in the governing board of the church. And my wife serving as a deaconess, and having an opportunity to use her gifts to serve the church in terms of hospitality and mercy, ministries of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, going way back to the 80s, David, what was it that, I mean, I know the will of God, but what did you sense? What did you see at ACAC that made you feel like this was your church home?
Well, I think my wife and I would immediately say that one of the things that drew us to the church was the fact that after the service that we had attended, a couple came up to us and welcomed us, and I thought maybe they thought we were international students, being that both my wife and I are Asians. But nonetheless, even if they did think that, we were impressed with their hospitality and their warmth and their greeting, and we said, oh, this is pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, they even invited us to their home right after the service, which surprised us even more for a first visit. So I would say that maybe in that small church setting, we had a chance to experience the kind of intimacy that we would expect in a smaller church, but even to reach across racial lines, because you know, we were walking into what I thought was a typical white Anglo church, which ACAC was back then, long before with the mission of being diverse and reaching out across racial, social, and economic lines, even began to take off, which was a core part of Rock's ministry in the later years.
I know this is a very broad question because there have been so many changes, but reflect a little bit on, you know, ACAC when you came in and ACAC today. I mean, what stands out to you? What were the most significant changes or developments? Just share with us a little bit from your historical perspective.
Yeah, I would say there's been a lot of change. I mean, even just in sheer numbers, to go from a 300-person church to where we are today at, I would say, around 2,600 or 700 people or congregants, those are very significant leaps in growth for the church. But I would say that one of the most pivotal changes that I was able to participate in, along with all the challenges of growing for the size that we have grown, I think one of the pivotal things that tipped the growth. There's largely a focus on racial reconciliation and the different aspects of social justice, in particular manifested in the three R's of reconciliation, redistribution, and relocation. It was never required that we'd have to relocate to the north side, but I could remember the days when Rock and the leadership here in its infancy was reflecting on the fact that the church had kind of wandered and got lost in its mission a little bit because it became more of a suburban church in which everybody just kind of drove there from the outside and attended ACAC. And the ministry to the neighbors seemed to have gotten lost in the shuffle over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that emphasis, which I think in any urban church, you begin to ask the hardcore question of how can we be relevant in our neighborhood and how can we be an impact, how can we bring the good news of Christ and be an impact where we are rather than coming to a place of worship where we drive in and then we drive away. So
mm-hmm.
I think that that subtlety of shifting to being more welcoming and embracing of people of different backgrounds and ethnicity and religious backgrounds and social and economic stratas really made a huge difference. I think obviously what couples with that social aspect is really a strong preaching of the word and the emphasis on the word of God. And I think that we've been gifted and blessed in having a very good preacher in our midst and being able to be faithful to that word, coupled with trying to be relevant to the community that the church was serving and working at bringing Christ as the good news to free people from their sins and to bring life and eternal life to them has really been a nice mix that I think has really propelled the church into the growth that it experienced, that it did. Of course, people have a lot to do with it. So I think as we had the rapid growth, I think keeping focused on health, hope, and healing as the building blocks of a culture has also buttressed and accelerated a community that not only looked inwardly to kind of care for its people, but really began to take those blessings and pass it on to the people of the north side and the neighborhoods that are in this immediate vicinity. So I would say those are some of the significant elements or components, if you will, of what has really brought a distinctive mission and defined a very distinctive character for Allegheny Center.
Mm-hmm. So, David, you've served as the head elder. I mean, you've been an advisor to Pastor Rock. Talk to us about how you've seen the whole expanded influence initiative. How has it emerged? Historically, how do you see that it makes sense at this point in this time to be emphasizing that? Just talk to us a little bit about your perspective on these two words that we've been hearing a lot about, expanded influence.
Yeah, it's one of the marks of Allegheny Center, I feel, is that it's been a body of people and leadership that really embrace a lot of the distinctives of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And that is that we're a people of God that really embrace the Great Commission and focusing on what our founder has made core to our to our denomination, which is missions, which goes right along with God's command to go and make disciples of all nations. And I think this aspect of the, if you will, the genetics of who we are as a denomination, as the Christian and Missionary Alliance, really sets the stage for the whole idea of expanded influence. I would say that the conception of this movement by Pastor Rock has been one that has been driven and embraced by the elders here, driven mainly by focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. E.D. Whiteside, who is one of our founders of the Allegheny Center Alliance Church, is often quoted as taking on the mission of growing this church on the north side, and was quoted as quoted as saying that he would be very glad to run the errands of the Holy Spirit. And I think that kind of captures the essence of expanded influence. Is the word expand and influence is not about a brand of ACAC. It's not about promoting an institution of any kind, neither a denomination. It's none of these ideas that one would immediately say is man-made. So expanded influence at its core, to me, has everything and a lot to do, if not everything to do, with letting the Holy Spirit direct our mission and our identity and God's mission and intention of what he wants to do in transforming the city of Pittsburgh through us. And as we surrender ourselves to what he is calling us to be and to do where he has called us in this place. So I believe that expanded influence at this time, in this moment, really reflects several things. I think it reflects an obedience to the scriptures in which we're called to go and make disciples. It reflects the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And it reflects very much that people can't hear unless they're sent. And it's important that we really bring the message to the people that need it the most. If you will, what we call the unreached and unchurched people in this city. Mm-hmm. So there's that core obedience to scripture, along with the fact that God is also building his church. We hear that in Matthew 16, and where he said that as he was speaking with Peter, but referring to the very foundation that Christ was set as being the Savior of men, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. There's also another element of expanded influence that reflects a holy desperation, is what Rock has sometimes called the basic life cycle of a church sometimes. If you will, churches go through a life cycle of increase and incline and a plateau in which it kind of finds itself somewhat content, and then it begins to decline unless we bring back a renewal and a refreshing of the mission of the church to bring the good news to the lost. And this holy desperation is what we really need at this time and in this place right now in the life of the Allegheny Center. So that there is that aspect of it's important that we continue to, if you will, push the edge so that we really don't die as a church, because if we don't do anything, that's the end of the lineage of the Allegheny Center. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other part of the fact that it's been shown that statistically, as churches give themselves away, and in other words, as we launch, as a church launches new works to reach out to other parts of our community, the statistics show, and then the data shows that the churches that do that do become better themselves within their own community. So, so this might be the interesting logic of why we're also expanding our facility along with giving away the best of our people in order to grow the kingdom of God out there. So I would say those are some of the reasons and kind of the causes and the drivers behind expanded influence as really a work we hope that God is guiding and is leading and really is the expression of the heart of a missional God.
Mm-hmm. So, David, in your mind, this is not a church growth technique. This is not, as you said, something to expand ACAC because we think we've got something together or everybody needs to be like us. This, in your mind, based on your experience and everything you've seen, is an initiative of the Holy Spirit.
I absolutely do believe it because our leadership, and that's speaking of the pastoral leadership, our elders, the ministry teams that are all an integral part of Allegheny Center, I truly believe that we're submitted to the Lord and we're wanting to do the will of the Lord. We are very clear, especially in the church planting arena, that we're really not promoting our brand out there. This is not what this is about. It's really reaching the unreached who are unattached to the church. And that's our simple goal. And I truly believe that God will honor that desire to just kind of to focus on the kingdom and being there to serve him and to be where he is active because in many of the potential objectives that we set out in our church plant, these are areas where our leadership has said we'd rather not plant churches where other churches would typically go. We're looking for places where churches won't go. Will not typically want to go because of various reasons related to urban challenges in those areas. So these are not really intuitive reasons to expand, and I think they're very God-honoring perspectives because when you look at the life of Christ, he didn't go to those who didn't need the gospel. We really reached out to the poor, the oppressed, those who were widowed and orphaned, and just the down and out folks in society. And that has been one of the successful elements of why our ministry has thrived here is because we tried not to be consumed by who we are and looking only inwardly to ourselves. Really, again, trying to give ourselves away in the very blessings that God has given us and trying to bless others with that blessing.
Yeah. David, you mentioned the term church planting, and we're going to talk about your role and some of our thoughts where ACAC is concerned, but that may be a phrase that some people just haven't heard or they're not familiar with. I know I was at a hockey game with one of our members and had no concept of church planting as a strategy, what it was. And so take a few minutes, if you wouldn't mind. What is church planting?
So we talked a little bit, John, about the fact of what it is in terms of expanded influence. And hopefully, with those points in mind, we can now I can try to kind of talk a little bit about what church planting is as we understand it. Basically, we think about church planting, and I think the best phrase to really equate it to is, and I just come up with this term because of my travels in Southeast Asia and having worked with some missionaries and in terms of sharing the gospel out in the field, it just struck me that, planting a church is very simply planting the gospel of Christ. It's easy to think that the church is really something about a building and a set of pews and a pulpit. But in fact, the church is not equated to that in our minds. It's more about how we bring the good news of Christ to a targeted area that we believe that God is working, and we want to join Him in transforming that neighborhood or that area. So that's kind of our idea of church planting. Now, certainly as we share the good news, as we plant the gospel, if you will, it grows. And so when we seed it and we water it and we encourage it and we, if you will, do some basic things like being incarnational, being intentional, being missional, and very relational in our desire to bring Christ to people, it's going to result in a community which God will build that becomes His kingdom in people's hearts, and that community will want to not only live out the Christian faith, but live it out in corporate community together. And so, in other words, this model naturally then moves into being the church in a more formal sense. But we don't want to put the cart in front of the horse, because if it's not Christ winning and binding people's hearts in community, it's not a church that is just mm-hmm. people going to a building. So mm-hmm. that's our concept of what it means to be the church. It's all about Christ and people's hearts, transforming hearts and minds, and building relationships, growing the relationships, and growing it in such a way that it's a community that wants to worship, praise, and love on each other and love others in that community, and therefore transform those neighborhoods that community is in.
David, what if somebody were to say, well, you were talking about expanding campus, and you're talking about planting a church that takes the focus away from the campus. Aren't those two incompatible as goals? Aren't they working against one another? What do you say to that?
Well, I think that having a sense of place, but also making sure that home is where Jesus resides in the heart. They're not a contradictory or dichotomous ideas, because we do belong in a physical world, and we belong to an area or what is known in some places as a parish. And so we acknowledge that, but we certainly don't want to say that the church is that physical place. Rather, it's what's in the people's hearts who is in that place, and God works in that place. So it's just an ordering of our thinking, and then you can call it whatever you want. You can call it a multi-site. You can call it a home church, a house church. You can say it's a satellite location. But those are just architectural descriptions of a physical space. But what's more important is what is God architecting in people's heart, renewing them and bringing them together. And really, God then binds the place and the hearts together to have a community where they really want to make a difference in that location.
Yeah. And it's not feasible that everybody in the city is going to want to come to the north side or be a part of a bigger church, and this gives some alternatives where the values are the same, but it's especially when we're talking urban ministry, some people may be relying on public transportation, and so spirit-led church planting in their communities gives people other options that they may avail themselves of. And I've seen statistics, too, and I'm sure you've seen them. If there was a huge revival in the United States, we wouldn't have enough churches to handle everybody. So church planting, developing new leadership within those churches, there are a lot of byproducts, I think, that are valuable and we can see. But I love your emphasis that, number one, this isn't a technique. This isn't about anything but following God and being true to the Great Commission of taking the gospel to people where they live and providing then an environment where they can grow together in love for one another and grow as disciples of Jesus. And I think I'm hearing that's what you're saying. That's our incentive. That's God's initiative, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I really like the way you carved that out, John. In fact, sometimes being in a place is a lot about removing the barriers, even as practical as logistics and distances. Removing the barriers from people wanting to commune, wanting to spend time together, or to have a meal, or to have an event, or worship together. So we see that very much in Jesus' mission. He really, as well as the Apostle Paul, they didn't have a tractional model in the sense that they sat in one place and waited for people to come to them. They went to where the needs were, and they went to where the people would be receptive to receiving them, and sometimes maybe not so receiving and hospitable, but the whole idea of mission and a missional God is that we bring the good news to others.
And statistics also show small churches do per capita lead more people to the Lord. It's just a different mindset. Big churches can be consumer of services. We're there for the children's ministry, for the youth ministry. A small church tends to be, used the word missional, more focused on the basic activity that we are to have, and that's to lead other people to Jesus. And so, David, now we're talking about church planning, but this is more talk than talk for you. You have a new role. Talk to us a little bit about that and what your title is and what your duties are going to be. I'm interested to hear myself.
Yeah. Well, I guess the title of what I'm being tasked to bring into being is Church Planning Leadership Development Director. It's kind of a mouthful, actually. But as we just described what we thought about what church planning is about, that's basically captured in that title. Moreover, though, you might be asking, well, what is it that how do we execute on that, and what does that embrace in terms of objective and its mission? So I think very simply, I think the idea of a church plant leadership development director is that this individual would have to really identify the kinds of leaders that the church of tomorrow would need to fulfill the missional call to build the Church of Christ. So certainly identification of these leaders and positioning our leaders to be relevant and to be able to make a difference in the acceleration of bringing the good news out there. The second part of that is equipping these future leaders as well. What kind of learning experiences hands-on experiences can best prepare these leaders as we launch them to build these missional communities and churches, plant these churches that are that are satellites, if you will, of the mother church potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So the equipping aspect is very much a part of what has to be put together in terms of a sustainable practice. And then finally, it's not only the identification and the equipping of these future leaders, but we have a very real world with very real needs. And so we're really sending and really planting the gospel and planting these churches in a given place. So the third part of this is just the sending and transforming of the communities that we hope that being a salt and light in that would make a difference because they're bringing Christ to that neighborhood. So that's kind of the threefold mission of what the role is about, and that's what we're going to try to, if you will, architect and build here at Allegheny Center, and really prepare our future leaders to be successful in bringing the good news out there.
Yeah. David, your background to a great extent has been business. Now you're transitioning into church position ministry. Was this something you thought about in the past? Is this, were you surprised that this came? Just talk to us a little bit about, you know, what went on in your own life that made this transition feel right.
That's a great question, John. And I think that the way I'll try to answer it is that I've always had a desire to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity. And from the very day I became a Christian, when I was a sophomore in high school, before going to college, I've always wanted to, I thought about going to Bible college to get my undergrad. But those doors never opened, and so I finished my undergrad in Illinois, where I was born and raised as a sixth kid in a Asian immigrant family. After finishing college, there was another point in which I kind of reflected that this would be a good opportunity to get some seminary training and maybe go into full-time ministry, but again, the Lord didn't open the door. But to make a long story short, I have a lot of these moments where I've always tried to put myself in front of God, and I've asked the question, is this the time that I could possibly step through the window of opportunity and of calling to serve you full time? And as it ended up, I found work, and that my first job was with the United States Steel Corporation in Pittsburgh. And again, I actually went to Pittsburgh Seminary for a couple of years at night school while working full time during the day, at least to the point where they finally said, you know, you can't keep doing continuing ed unless you declare a major. And so that was again another crossroad, and the Lord didn't open that door. So I ended up, if you will, wandering for almost 40 years and working in the marketplace.
Very biblical. Very biblical.
Yeah. So I don't know if God was just being humorous, but you know, I had an opportunity where God sunsetted, if you will, my last role with a financial institution here in Pittsburgh, and I thought maybe retiring didn't seem appropriate, just because I felt like I had a lot of gas still, and is there another chapter in life that that God wanted me to pursue? And I had just been involved with the whole church plant idea back in 2014, and the elders and the lead pastors here in Allegheny Center were agreeable to that because. I've always tried to serve wherever I could and try to make a difference while I was operating as a bivocational individual. So with PNC, where I last worked, where I had an opportunity to lead, and it was a blessing, the way my wife and I viewed it. I then was contemplating what next, and still holding and working with the church planting process. Well, one of the sermons that our pastor preached on July 31st struck me when he said that sometimes God's will is just one step and one obedience away from being revealed. And so it kind of struck me that maybe this, again, was another window of opportunity to step through and ask the Lord if there really is a calling here to serve him in a full-time capacity and not just simply to work a particular ministry. Because I didn't want to do this focused only on a single opportunity, but that I would then ask the question of my whole life as to how do I align this with what you really want to do with my life. So I asked the leadership there at Allegheny Center to pray with me and to affirm. I asked a number of individuals, even at the district level of the Alliance. Of course, I asked my wife as well, and we prayed and thought about what are the things that that God would have us to do at this moment with what we have in terms of our treasures, our talents, and our time. And so here I am. The affirmation was there. We decided to step through and just trust in God that he will direct us because, quite frankly, I'm still not sure what I'm walking into, even though I have clarity about what I would like to do. I certainly continue to reflect what I hope I've expressed in this time here, the culture that's here at ACAC, that, you know, it's God expects us to plan and do our part and exercise the diligence. But at the end of the day, he directs, and our job is to get out of the way where we don't inhibit it, and it's Holy Spirit in working, and hopefully align ourselves with his work so that our efforts are doing the will of the Father. So the long answer to your question, John,
not at all.
I really didn't seek this opportunity, but God seems to be nudging, sometimes we're called to take those kind of faith-filled risks and put ourselves out there. And with the community that I'm in and the people that I love here and have been very supportive of me, you know, I felt good that this was a step that would honor him to just kind of trust him and let him lead.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
David,
go ahead. Yeah, in many ways, this is sort of a non-event because I had been working on this for well over a year. It's just simply that I can now fully be devoted to this effort.
Well, it feels right. I was pleasantly surprised, but I knew you were in transition, and you certainly have the history with us as a people and certainly have the heart for what's going on and the skills. And so it'll be very exciting. And we're not going to get any specifics today, but I am going to ask you, you know, to come back at a later date. And when we get into a little bit more of some of the specific thoughts that we have about church planting, but we're just trying right now to lay a little bit of a foundation for anybody who's interested in reading or listening of why expanded influence, why the expanded campus, why the improved communications, why church planting. And when I heard about the transition, I thought, what a great opportunity to hear firsthand from you. So I thank you for your time. And again, thank you. I've always said I came to ACAC 2001. I knew I was coming into something that a lot of people had built before I got there, and you were, and you and your wife Mary and your family were a part of that. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you for making yourself available now, and we look forward to how God's going to use you.
Well, thank you very much, John, and really appreciate the opportunity to do that. And I would like to tell the listeners that I'm available and would be very pleased and willing to just chat about anything that I've spoken of, and would love to provide more clarity, because these are very exciting times. And moreover, I believe that God is going to do a very great and profound thing in the city of Pittsburgh through this body of believers.
Yeah, I think we all sense that and believe that. God has to help us do it, and I think we're all making ourselves available to that end, and we're appealing to everyone to realize that we are at a unique juncture in the history of our city and the history of our congregation, and God has uniquely positioned us and brought us all together for such a time as this, and it's going to have, to whom much is given, much is required. We have some responsibilities that we have to accept, that we are a little different, that God has made us than some of the other congregations, and God may want to use that to influence other people, and that's what the expanded influence is all about. So, David, my best to you. I'm sure I'll see you around campus, and we'll talk again from time to time so that we can put out there what you're doing, and if there's any way that I or we can serve you in that process, whatever you need, you please let us know.
Thank you very much, John.
All righty. God bless. Give my love to Mary.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All righty. David Lee, newest member of the team, focusing on church planting, leadership development, and thank him for his time. Thank you for listening. And there's not going to be an official close. We're still working on that, too. But I promise we will have it in the coming sessions. We're going to be talking to children's ministry. We want to talk to our young adult ministry, and all with the view towards why expanded influence. And if you have any ideas, if you have any questions, please, john.stanko@acac.net. Drop me a line. Let me know what those questions are. If you need something in the way of an explanation, we're going to do our best to get to you. But for right now, this is John Stanko signing off for Ministry Beat. We will be back together again with you real soon. Until then, so long, and you take care, and I'll see you around campus. Thanks.